Kate Holsapple's FaceTiming me. Do you want to say hi to the podcast?
Hey, podcast. I'm reporting live from the Washington Nationals baseball stadium where Joe wishes he was, and we are already down at least 2 points. So cheers to that, and happy podcasting.
Wow. Thank you so much.
Thanks, former guest Kate Holsapple.
Your cameo. Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. All right. Bye.
See ya.
I saw some meme that was like people freaking out in England about it being like high 70s, like low 80s.
High 70s Celsius?
Fahrenheit. It was like translated for the American.
Oh, okay.
I don't know though. Like, do you know what the average temperature is in like London in the
there's
summer?
There's some joke about how it's just they don't AC their buildings.
Really?
So, well, there's a bunch of old buildings, is my understanding. They're not really AC'd. So they're like, oh my gosh, 70 degrees. Say it isn't so.
Dude, can you imagine living in like the 1800s or like the 1700s?
Yeah, my office building today, no air upstairs, and it was broken. And it's like, oh, well, we can call the people, but they're as busy as they're ever going to get because it's the first day of summer. Not really, but it's like the first hot day, so they're busy. And it's like, oh, no moving air, 82 degrees, says my temperature monitor, zero moving air.
Oh,
it's like, this is just not great.
Yeah. It's rough. I don't know if I would have made it. I'm going to be real. Like in the 1800s, you know?
You would have. You would just, it's whatever you're used to. You wouldn't know
exactly
any different.
Yeah. Like if I'd have grown up with like a long.
Okay.
Just the air pressure.
I literally thought a person like was walking outside. That was just some weird noise. Anyway, speaking of AC, as the AC clacks on.
Kicked on it. It heard. It knew it needed to.
It knows. The AC knows.
The AC knows.
Yeah, but you wouldn't know. It's like, oh my gosh, how did we ever survive? We couldn't call each other back in 1980. Yeah. Oh my gosh, how did you even?
Yeah, like car
you
phones.
You didn't know to ask for the fact that you. Yeah. Except the one exception I always give is that when I was a kid, I was like, I hate that I have these CDs and I can't like arbitrarily choose what order they all play in.
Mm.
It's like if only there was a way to have like song one from CD two and song three from CD five and just choose other than begging my dad to burn it to another CD. I wish there was a way.
In the exact order you want.
And I want to, and now I can do that. It's like they invented playlists.
They did.
And my mom told me about playlists on the iPod when she gave me an iPod. Mm. That was like old and out of date. I was like, you can do any album in any order? Oh my gosh, it came. My wish
came
true.
That's crazy. So
I asked, you know, the world, I was like, hey, anybody, does anybody know a way to, other than burning the CDs, does anybody know a way to make the custom order? Nope.
Wow.
And then it came true. So maybe in the 1800s, one guy like is smart, smarter than everybody else, I guess, was like, oh my goodness, if only there was a way to do cold air. If only instead of hot air, if there was a way to do cold air. Because like if you think about it, heat is easy. It's like, oh, we're just gonna burn we're just gonna burn stuff.
Yeah.
And we're gonna put on more clothes and it's gonna be great and we'll keep warm and we'll nestle together. The children will nestle together all snug in their beds as visions of sugar plums dance in their heads.
Whoa. Christmas in June.
It's easy, you know, to generate heat, obviously.
How do we do cold?
You don't, okay, so I'm no expert, Joe.
Yeah, my come understanding, on, give me the HVAC.
No, my understanding is that there's just the compressor that runs the, I don't remember what it's called, but just the fluid that has the ability to expand and contract. And so outside, it contracts and lets go of all the heat it's generated from inside, if I'm not mistaken. And then the fan, yeah, I have no
See, this, I don't,
as I talk it's about like, it, it's like I got no idea.
Yeah.
But it's like, that's complicated. It's like, oh, it's easy to make heat. Like anyone can do that.
Yeah.
And then it's like, wait, but we remove the hot air and put in cold air? How?
Because I was thinking about this. It was crazy hot and I was in my car. And my car was blowing ice cold AC.
How is it doing
that? And I was like, man, who thought of that?
How is it doing
that? How does it do that? You know, because like, you're right. For heat, it just drags the air across the engine and it makes it hot and then it blows it into your car.
Does it though? I feel like if it did that, we'd be breathing in some
I think it goes through some filters, I think that's where it comes from. Because
there's only some carbon monoxide in there.
Like on
98% carbon monoxide free.
Yeah. On the cold days when you start your car and you like turn it all the way to heat, it doesn't actually blow heat.
It has to
until it warms up. The engine warms up, and then once it gets to like a working temperature, then it gets warm.
But cold air is pretty fast. Yeah.
Yes, because that's like a separate.
The, it's running
its
the
own
compressor
and has the fluid going through it.
I'm sure we sound ignorant, but it's like I don't.
We need your dad.
I only have a vague idea of how it works because I know they can recharge it.
Yeah.
But how does that
with
work?
With Freon? Yeah. I don't actually know. Freaking dude, so much technology now is just like wizardry.
We have no clue how it works.
Like
Zachary, go build an iPhone. I can't do that. Okay. Yeah, you use one every day.
Yep.
I think my media school professors would have called that a black box, where it's just this technology that does something. We just don't know how it works. We don't know what's inside the black box. Our phones are black boxes where what?
It's like AI.
Okay, so
it's become like every other podcast in the world right now and talk about AI some more.
If you're talking about ChatGPT, I've mm-hmm. got a bone to pick with most podcasts, which is that ChatGPT, sorry to be this guy, is not artificial intelligence. It is, you know, it is a like text prediction model. Huh. It's not, you know, learn. It doesn't learn anything. You give it prompts and it outputs the statistically most likely based on what it's been trained on. It outputs the statistically most likely word. And then after that, it does the next statistically most likely word and so on forever based on what it's been trained on. It's not like actually learning. It's not learning anything. It's just like spitting back what it thinks is likely based on the data set it's been trained on, which is likely to become worse and worse if it gets trained on AI generated internet articles. It's just going to get
worse. It's like a 4-year-old kid trying to please their parents.
Just like, you're just making stuff up.
You don't know why you're saying what you're saying. You just know that whatever, if you say the right thing, then your parents will give you what you want.
Your parents give you a cookie.
Exactly.
And except instead of a cookie, it's like AI points. And then it's happy. The little ChatGPT engine is happy because it gets rewarded. Yeah. So, you know, I was like using it the other day to like, I want to say it was assisting me in my job. I'm invaluable in my job and cannot be replaced, but it was assisting me in my job.
Hey, I was there.
And it was like, oh, it just did something that would have taken me 30 minutes in 1 second. That's great. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, I was talking to, shout out to, Jacob Houston's brother, longtime listener, Jacob Houston, Josh. I was talking to him last week and
he's a big AI guy.
He works with AI and I still don't know exactly what he does.
No one does, Joe,
but he just talks about optimization with AI. Mm-hmm. And essentially, like, AI is scary for sure, like in a lot of ways. But if we can keep it under control, I just feel like there's a lot of ways to use it, which would be cool. And I honestly, now that I'm thinking about it, I really do probably need to like figure out some ways that it could be helpful for me in my job. Because like there are some menial things that I could probably offload and do some more important things.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think it's going to replace anyone, at least not yet. It's just going to save some time.
Yeah.
It's going to achieve the dream where we work 4 hours instead of eight.
Which I kind of hate because it's like...
Then we got more free time.
You're inviting the devil in. You're like, yeah, like he's just going to help do some chores, you know? Not a big deal.
Yeah,
like,
no problem.
He's not going to do anything crazy. At least not yet, you know? Like, I swear, we're gonna like listen back to this in like 20 years and... In like AI prison that they put us in, forcing us to listen to old podcasts.
They're like harvesting our skin for energy or something, The Matrix. Ugh. They don't need to keep us around.
I remember the first time I saw The Matrix, and like when he like comes out.
That's actually horrifying.
It's like
I'm actually scarred for life.
Disgustingly horrifying, and
because it's like 200 stories of just random people
just
in pods.
Just people in pods.
Kind of scary.
And they think that they're like, literally just makes me like my skin crawl. Which makes it a good story, you know.
But obviously, that's not what's happening right now. Obviously, this is real life, obviously.
Yeah, obviously.
There's nothing fake about it.
You know, like, people have used that defense in court before.
I was, but Your Honor, I was in The Matrix. Exactly. I didn't really kill him. He was just like, zeros and ones.
It's like a non... What they do is they sentence you to, like, psychiatric
prison. You are criminally insane. You cannot be held liable for your actions.
Yes.
There's some video about how you shouldn't... Online about how you shouldn't plead insane because you'll get... You'll just be put in like a hospital and you'd rather be in jail. Don't try
to act. The Joker movie. Isn't there another one coming out? Did you see the original?
I don't believe I did, no. Okay. Is that the famous one where he like kills the talk show host and stuff?
Yeah, Joaquin Phoenix.
I did not watch that
one. My freshman year of college. It was a weird movie. I don't know if I'd recommend it. I mean, it was like artistic.
You would not recommend
it. All of the, you know, filmy people loved it.
All the film critics loved it.
Yeah.
On this scene, the red of the blood represents his internal anger. It's like media school.
Whoa.
Sometimes the blood is just red. Sometimes the drapes are just blue. It's fine.
Yeah.
Not everything has to be a secret meaning.
It's true.
Speaking of secret meanings, I watched, it's been 5 years.
Come on, man. The last 5 years.
The last 5 years.
There it is.
The Last of Us.
The Last of Us.
I started to watch The Last 5 Years. when I did watch the last 5 years, I gave up after about 20 to 30 minutes because it was a lot of like, I love you, but you don't love me, but you're my husband, but you're not my husband, but I can't believe you did this, but I can't believe you said this, and it's all just so messed up. And I was like, all right, this is actually terrible, and I'm turning it off.
Like, you mean like the story?
The story was like, so I mean, it's spoilers for the first 30 minutes.
Yeah, spoilers.
It's
big
about
spoiler,
Anna Kendrick and this other guy that I forget the name of. And the other guy becomes like a famous author seemingly overnight with no effort and like becomes too cool for her and doesn't really spend as much time with her and thinks he's all great and stuff. And then she's like, I can't believe you dish me on my birthday for your cool friends. And then it's like Zachary gives up. So
here's the deal. Okay. I'm not going to say that you're wrong, but I think what makes the story so and this is spoilers again, by the way. So if you haven't seen it, I would recommend you to go watch it. I think what makes it so compelling is the excruciating nature of where the songs are placed. So for anybody who didn't, I think I explained it last podcast, but I'll just give a brief rundown. Essentially, the story is it's of these two people, and it's of a relationship that they have over the course of 5 years. But it's told, so they go back and forth. So Anna Kendrick will have a song, and then Jeremy Jordan will have a song. And it goes, so like Anna Kendrick starts at the end, and every song she has works backwards in time. So she starts at the end and will end at the start. And Jeremy Jordan is just chronological. So he'll every song he sings,
he goes normal in time, yeah, and she goes back.
Moves him forward in time.
So like,
and they meet in the middle. So like they meet, the only song they actually duet on is the middle song. And he proposes to her.
That's cool.
I know.
It would have been awesome if I would have stuck it out.
But, I know. Yeah. I understand, but I think that's so, like, for instance, okay. And again, this is huge spoilers. Big spoilers.
Careful, Jay.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Clipping a lot there.
But. Oh, sorry. Well, it adds to the effect. It's spoiler town.
Spoiler town.
Okay.
All right, everybody watch out for spoiler town.
So, like, this first part isn't a spoiler, but like the first song is called Still Hurting. And it's Anna Kendrick right
but
at the
I'm
end.
I'm still hurting.
Okay, you butchered it. Let's be real. Come on. Here's the deal. You're on like crack cocaine right now. I don't know what you're doing. This is
it was so terrible.
It was not. It was like, oh my gosh.
You're just like in her living room, like, I'm still
it starts. She starts at the end. I can't believe you're laughing about this. I'm like, oh my gosh. Look, it starts at the end, and she's just found this letter he wrote to her saying, hey, I just closed all of our bank accounts. I'm moving out. Like, why are you laughing? I can't believe. Oh my gosh. Not funny. I bet you the kind of guy that laughs at funerals, huh?
No, it's just like, it was just like so bad. No, it's fine. It's very, Joe, this is very serious. It's very upsetting that Anna Kendrick and Anna Kendrick's fake husband was too cool for school.
Look,
and sent her a letter that was like, I'm going to leave you now. It's very upsetting.
So my point here
is, funerals are very serious, and I was definitely very upset and emotionally invested in this terrible movie.
The thing that makes it compelling is that it's excruciating because you hear her sing this song about how she's still hurting, okay, and she like is just she's very blindsided and she's just very upset, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next song sequentially in the musical is his first song, so it's the first experiences that you see him having with her, and he's like freaking out. He's like, oh my gosh, like, I don't care. Like, one of the lines is like, I don't care. Like, yeah, like if you had a tattoo, that wouldn't matter. If you had a shaved head, that'd be cool. Like, whatever. Like, essentially, like, she's so everything he's ever wanted that he's okay with it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. So you see this, just this like boyish excitement, mm-hmm, and like this very, yes, innocent, like this love that's budding between them.
And after an extended session of prayer and Bible study.
Yeah. I can't professionally recommend this musical, but so you see this, I mean, there's right next to each other, this excruciating pain and this like immense innocent affection.
Right.
And they're right next to each other. And it's like, oh my gosh, like that's just crazy. And then at the end of the musical, you see, you see, so there's a song that happens. It's called Nobody Needs to Know. And it's when you, spoiler alert, you find out that he's cheating on her and that he's been doing it for a while.
Jamie wakes up in his apartment next to multiple women, including his editor, Elise, and the receptionist at the Red House.
Are you AI?
How could he, Jamie?
Unbelievable.
Can't you see that Anna Kendrick is hurting right now?
She is very much so hurting. But she doesn't know that, okay? Mm. So then he'll end up writing her a letter, what she finds at the beginning. But you see this song, and he's just, like, laying it out there. Like, this is, like, just the way that he expresses the things that he's feeling really, like, resonate with me. Like, that song is just, like, excruciatingly difficult because he's, like, they're experiencing difficulties. Anyway, but you hear him, like, basically say that, like, he's freaking out and that he's cheating on his wife and, like, but nobody needs to know. It's fine. And then the next song is one of the first songs she sings about him, which is this, back to this innocent, you know, this love that's, like, budding up and, like, you know, it's so exciting. It's right at the beginning of everything. And, like, so it's just, like, this placement right next to each other that's, like, oh, gosh, like, because I think something, like, what makes a good story, I think the best stories are not simple. The best stories are not, you know, character A goes out and has difficulty and then solves it. You know, a great story is one that's ambiguous. It's one that is relatable for sure. But it's also one that's not quite finished. You know, the musical ends in a beautiful way, by the way. And then, like, it's just like, yeah, well, they were together for 5 years and they got married and they got divorced and that sucks. Like,
the end.
Exactly, right? And you know that because you saw the first
song. Don't forget to, like, tip your waiters. God made you very special and he loves you very much. Goodbye.
Her first song told you everything that's going to happen. I mean, it ended, right? But it's this, I don't know, it's this, like, it's this unfinished and yet still beautifully arranged, both in the order of the songs, but also just musically, the songs, I think, are just really good. So anyway.
Maybe I'll give it another shot, Joe.
You don't have to. It's really fine.
This is a very Joe musical, not as much as Zachary musical.
Well, that's the thing, though. It's not really like any other musical that you see, because it's
no, it's Memento, the musical, and they're playing games at the time.
Exactly. Stream. And it's just two people. Like, there's not really a course of people. Like, there's not, like, multiple characters. It's just these two people singing songs about the other one, but not in chronological order. They're going backwards and opposite. Yeah, they're going opposite directions chronologically of each other. So it's just, it's very well done, in my opinion. It's very self-contained. Anyway. Sorry you didn't like it.
It's all right, Joe.
Yeah. I'm still hurting over that one, but
no, listeners, this is very serious. That love is very serious. Do not think that I'm laughing at that. It's just something about just, like, the melodramatic nature of the whole thing. Just
okay, yeah.
It was like, okay, guys.
She's, like, writhing around on the, like, floor.
Yeah, listeners, look up the scene. Like, it's just Zachary's this heartless person. It's like something about it's just like, okay, guys, you can calm down.
Yeah, it's fair.
No.
Do you like musicals in general, though?
Like, yeah, I like musicals well enough. Maybe I only like musicals I already like. I mean, big fan of Wicked, decent fan of Joseph in the Coat of Many Colors.
I need to see that one.
Yeah, they're good.
Never seen it.
Don't love Hamilton. Don't really get the appeal, but it's not for everyone. Joe, I did finish the recommendation you gave me called Practicing the Way by John Mark Comer. Mm-hmm. I did finish that book. It's a little bit disorganized in some parts, but, I mean, my understanding of the big picture was taking away more from Jesus than he died for us, but taking away, actually copying and making your life look like him, which is something that is not easy to do. I don't do it. You don't do it. We all don't do it. If you have any more thoughts about the book, do tell, but I just wanted to let you know I did read it. Didn't like that it was unfocused and felt a little all over the place. Mm-hmm. Did like, because it's just like, I know there were parts I liked, but he just, like, goes off and says all these random things. And then some of it's like, oh, that's genius. And then some of it's like, eh, whatever.
Yeah, okay. It's definitely, I think he's very... I mean, he writes like Rob Bell in, like, the kind of staccato train of thought.
I've only read Velvet Elvis by Rob Bell. Isn't he, like, this controversial guy that everybody gets mad at and stuff?
I mean, he's just, look, I don't.
I'm putting you in a hard spot, Joe, because I'm, like, asking you to give your opinion, but.
I mean, I don't mind giving my opinion about Rob Bell. I don't think Rob Bell's a bad guy. I have no doubt that like God used him to like bring lots of people to Christ, but like he's no longer a Christian. Like he just doesn't. He says he's not a Christian. He doesn't practice Christianity anymore.
Does he does believe in God or not anymore?
I don't know. No, I think he may just believe in something. Off the reservation. It's not like he's like professed
the great
that he's not a Christian anymore.
Fair enough.
Which sucks. And I think, I mean, he just always wrote these very provocative, like, but like knowingly, like he wrote a book called, I read one called Sex God, which was all about like relationships, but like what a, like, you know, it's like, why would you, you know, you don't have to name it that. Or like, Love Wins, right?
Yeah.
Like around 2015-ish, you know, and like, it's about, that's his take on hell, which I have not read that one, but like he I think is the one who kind of popularized the, or yeah, I would say popularized it in the modern culture of like, you know, hell's not actually, it's not a place, it's like a, it's a mindset, you know, and we like live it out every day, you know. It's like
he brought the secular stuff to tried to fuse Christianity with secular
yes
stuff.
And so it's like, and that's why I would, you read the back, you look at the back of his books and it's like, yeah, New York Times best-selling, and like all these like secular people are like, this is the best book I've ever read. It's like
okay, so blurring the lines. Okay, fair enough. Anyway, yeah. I don't know a ton about him, but anyway, yeah. Back to John Mark Comer, who doesn't blur the line.
Yes, John Mark Comer, I feel like John Mark Comer is a solid guy, but he does write the same way where it's sometimes hard to follow. I feel like as I was reading it, sometimes I got lost for sure.
Oh yeah, for sure.
When I finished it and I was looking back to kind of make notes on stuff I wanted to like keep from it, it made more sense, like the trend, like knowing where he was going then helped it made more sense.
Yep. Yeah, books always make more sense the second time through.
Yes.
Like fiction or nonfiction, generally speaking.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I enjoyed it when I read it and I got a lot out of it. And I hope you did too, even though it was a little bit confusing. Like,
yep, I'd say I got things out of it, yeah, for sure.
That's good.
No question.
Yeah.
But yeah, thanks for the recommendation and check it out.
Check it out.
Still not done with Atomic Habits, I see, but.
Yeah, it's still on my desk.
Make it easy, make it accessible.
Dude, I'm like,
make it rewarding.
There's so many books.
Nope, you'll never get to them all for sure.
I feel like I've been reading something recently. What have I been reading? We're reading this book called Traction for like CSF staff. It's like a businessy book, but it's like just meant for like getting on the same page about like your vision and your values and like all like making your thing productive and good.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been good. I feel like I've been reading. Oh, I found these things. They're on my desk, so I'm showing Zachary.
Just picking up very small little books that are about the size of maybe four decks of cards in a 2x2 grid, perhaps.
Yeah, that's fair.
Ish. Maybe like the narrow type of cards, not the wide type cards. Yeah,
these. So I went to a church. I was in a wedding and I went up to church with my friend. So I don't know why I hesitated. I was like, do I say his name? Do I not say his name? Maybe I just won't say his name. That's fine.
Okay. He went to church with his friend that he's being weird about for some reason.
I'm not trying to be weird. Anyway, I went to church with this guy and they had these like, this had like a bookstore, you know, and they had these little books out and they're produced by an organization called Nine Marks. I don't know anything about them, but.
She was handing me the book. It's blue, has a white design. It is Nine Marks, How Can I Find Someone to Disciple Me? By J. Garrett Kill.
And
Church Questions is a series that seeks to provide ordinary Christians with sound and accessible biblical teaching by answering common questions they have about church life. Each volume offers biblical answers and practical applications with the goal of nurturing healthy church practice and commitment.
So essentially,
different authors, same series.
Yes. So like these
same cute little. So it's very small. It has only like 50 pages small. Or something.
Yeah. It's. I mean, it's ooh, like 50.
I wish all books were 50 pages.
Dude, Jess. I know. I bought a few of them just to like get a sense of like what they're like. But honestly, if I like them, I might just see if we can bulk order some and like have them out to give out to people.
So we've got How Can I Find Someone to Disciple Me? And we've got some others that Joe has.
Yeah. So I bought that one. How Do I Find Someone to Disciple Me? How Do I Fight Sin and Temptation? And then How Can I Love Church Members with Different Politics? Ooh. And I mean, and they had a ton of them. They had like, who runs the church? Like, how can women flourish? Can women be pastors? What does God think about? I think there was one like, what does God think about like LGBTQ+?
So they're really stepping on the third rail with these books.
Yeah, dude. Well, that's why I want to read them. And like, I want to read them so that I can see what they say. And then like, if I, you know, if it's something that CSF would agree with, then it's like, yeah, like I'd love to have them out for students as like resources, you know? Cause they're super quick. I mean, like Zachary said, they're 50 something pages maybe. And
yeah,
it's just super, I almost read an entire one in an afternoon. And if they're helpful, like, I don't know. Anyway, so I've been trying to chug through these, which has been good. But yeah, have you been reading anything recently?
Opening list. No, I haven't read a ton. I read this a book called The Simple Path to Wealth by J.L. Collins, which is really good. Just talks about investing, a rather simple investment strategy that he says, which is just to do low cost index funds, which, yeah, that's about it.
Okay, that's cool.
But he has some interesting book. That's the whole book. Invest in low cost index funds. That could be a 50 pager. No, he has some good different advice in there, but just kind of how to save for retirement and, you know, in this economy.
It's such a sensible book to read.
No, yeah, it's good. I read it a long time ago. I was just rereading it because it's like with my job, I've accumulated a lot of knowledge in that area. So I know the first time I read it, I was like, what the heck is this guy talking about?
Yeah.
And then I went back. It's like, oh, okay, I know what he's talking about now. I get it. So the first time I read it, understood a little, but was mostly confused and then worked a job for 6 months plus that is, you know, involves managing money and then was enlightened. And I was like, I went back. Oh, I see what he's wanting us to do. Okay, great, wonderful. Simple Path to Wealth by J.L. Collins. Read it and be confused, and then I can try to explain it a little more in depth if people have questions.
But there you go.
Yeah, I think it's good. It's sometimes hard to find good books, though, because I was reading like this one book that J.L. Collins recommended you go to afterwards. I was like, it's just saying the same thing that J.L. Collins just told us. I don't need to read this. So sometimes there's a lot of books that sort of feel like they overlap each other a lot. And like I know John Mark Comer has Live No Lies, and then Craig Rochelle has Running the War in Your Mind, and I swear they're like the same book.
Really?
John Mark Comer's is a little better, but I swear they're almost the same. But
well, I didn't. Louis Giglio also had a book. Don't Let the Enemy See Have a Seat on Your Table or something.
And Zachary's gonna read like Standing Your Guard: How to Keep the Enemy Out of Your Mind.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
Joe's gonna write like Mental Battles: How to Win Against the Enemy. It's these all are just the same ChatGPT.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
ChatGPT, please Rest write a book.
More. That's what this book is about too.
My goodness. I mean, there are only so many topics, but
yeah. And I mean, they each had a little bit of a different take sometimes.
We need to like average them and then get the different takes in one place and then call it good.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. So when are you going to learn to play drums for real?
Oh man, dude, I want to. I also sat down with a friend who plays electric this past week, 2 weeks ago. Wow. The past week has been a freaking whirlwind, man. I sat down with him and tried to learn some like electric guitar stuff because I want to do that too. But yeah, drums are just completely, I mean, it's like learning how to drive a car versus like breathing, you know, it's like,
wait, what?
Well, no,
guitar is easy. Like breathing.
Hang on.
Playing.
It's like,
I don't get that.
Playing piano. That's what my home instrument is. Playing piano to going and like learning the drums it's like learning a different language. You know what I mean? It's completely different in everything. So, I mean, rhythmically, I think is the only thing that's the same, but it's like the technique is different. The way that you have to practice for it is different. Even like the intricacy of the rhythms, like is way more than I would ever think about on piano or singing or guitar, you know? So I want to learn.
You'll get there. You need to do that.
Yeah.
I really need to do that.
Yeah.
So I was telling Joe, and I was like, because watching him as someone who doesn't play drums, it's like, oh, he doesn't like, when he does a fill, like he doesn't know how to bring it back or like he doesn't know where to put his hands to like most efficiently get right back to the beat. And so what I told Joe and the listeners now get to find out is that it's like there's some sort of program that runs in your head when you've been doing it for a while that just knows what to do for the sticking. You think of the rhythm you want to do and then the sticking just happens automatically. And I assume for piano players, they just think about the chords and then the fingers automatically know how to do the chords.
I don't think about like if I'm playing a song in A and the chord progression's like A, D, F sharp minor, E.
First, I have to really think about it every time. And then you're like, okay. Whatever.
It's like, I know, like I have to think about, okay, I have my hands have to land here at the right time. But like, as far as like grace notes and like, you know, adding a seventh or a fourth or a second or doing an octave in the bass versus a fifth or like, you think about that less and less as it goes, and it's more just like feeling, like based on what the song needs, you know. Which I think is exactly what I mean. Like you were talking to me about so many things that, like, you know, add a little beat, extra X, you know, grace thing here, and you know, throw this in there, and it sounds basically the same, but this is a little better because of that. And it's like, oh my gosh, just so much to think about. But also for you, it's not.
And then you go to teach me some things on piano, and then it's like, oh, that's, there's a lot.
I think you're better at piano than you think you are.
I'm pretty good at faking, but if you were to teach me on guitar, it's, there's a lot of nuance for sure.
Sure.
I'll get good at that someday, but, you know, the goal is to become the multi-instrumentalist. But yeah, drums, super fun. Definitely my home instrument.
Yeah.
That is all.
That is all. I have the ability to play four different rhythms with four different ligaments of my body. No big deal.
I don't want to say it too much, but I have I told you this? Stop me if I've told you this, but you put certain limbs on autopilot and then only focus on
one. Yeah. Which I understand that. Because, like, it's like the same, like, driving. Like,
and you forget that you just, like, you forget that that thing's been playing the chord note rhythm because it's just been doing it for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like,
it's crazy your brain does that. It's so, like, what are the word? Like, elastic? Like, it, like, just learns stuff really easily.
Yeah.
You know?
When it comes to drum. And it's like, but you also go on YouTube and are humbled and, like, oh, there's people who, like, actually have the spiritual gift of drumming and, like, they're just, it's like they're playing different instruments than I am.
Yeah.
It's like if you, you know, watch a really good guitar player, it's like, oh, they're playing a different instrument than I am. Mm-hmm. And then if you watch a really good drummer, they're playing a different instrument.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to make do with what you can do. I mean, I'm good for a church drummer, but, you know, I will never be the next great drummer.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Here, do you think that Pixar has made any good movies recently?
No. Are you kidding?
Like at all? What was the last good Pixar movie, you think?
So let's look at the list of Pixar films. Because
Inside Out 2 just came out, and I haven't seen it. But that was in my mind. And then I remembered that Luca was a thing.
Okay, so here we have Inside Out 2.
Yeah.
Elemental. No, I actually didn't finish Elemental. I didn't watch it. I was like, started, I was like, okay. I think it was Family Movie Night or something. I was 60% of the way through. I was like, this is not good, so I give up. Lightyear, oh gosh, that was not very good either. Turning Red was okay, if not a little weird.
I didn't see that one either.
Luca was all right. Yeah, Luca was the last good one.
I was gonna say, I feel like that. I mean, I've been watching it in my spare time. It's actually pretty good. Like,
you've been watching Luca in your free time. I'm so confused.
Our TV broke, and so I have to, like, I watch things on my computer, and one of the things I'm signed into is Disney, and I was like, I'm hungry. I want to watch something. I know I like Luca, but I haven't seen it in a long time. This is nostalgic. I'll just put it on. You know. Hope that's not weird. So yeah, I've been watching that. It's actually pretty good. The soundtrack is good.
Soul was okay, but not incredible.
Yeah.
Onward was okay, but not incredible.
Yeah.
Toy Story 4 didn't need to exist.
Yeah, I agree.
Incredibles 2 was a disappointment.
Yeah,
it's like, here, I'm just trashing everything. Coco was pretty good.
Coco was great. That maybe, I think, was the last great Pixar movie.
Yeah, maybe. Cars 3, not very good.
I liked Cars 3.
Okay. Finding Dory, fine.
Yeah, that was fine.
All right, not amazing. Good Dinosaur, whatever. Yeah. Inside Out, awesome.
Yeah.
Inside Out in 2015 was the last awesome one.
You don't think Coco was awesome? I thought Coco. Mm. Coco made me cry quite a bit, actually.
Movies, things can make you cry, but not be awesome.
Well, what do you mean when you say awesome? Like,
I mean, it's good. Some of it's a little contrived. Like, think about, so the villain guy, right? Let me look on Wikipedia to see if I can figure out the villain guy's name. Is it Hector? Is that by chance?
I don't
know.
It's something.
Or it's, no, it's Ernesto. Anyway.
Yes. Yes.
So the evil guy, it's like, he's in the picture, right? This will only make sense if you've seen the movie. Sorry. He's in the picture, but he's like too broad. You know what I mean? Where they show the rest of the picture. And it was like, oh, it's the other guy the whole time who wrote the songs. It's like the nice, good guy the whole time that wrote the songs. But his body was really broad and not skinny. And then it's like his head's on the wrong size body.
Oh,
you mean, is this making sense to anybody?
Yeah, no.
And that kind of broke the movie for me. I was like, oh, you're just leading us to believe that the evil guy did write the songs by giving us this fake photo. And then you're putting his head on top of the fake body. Mm. It's like, what are you guys doing? So that kind of discounts the movie for me.
I understand.
So, sorry. Let's see. Anyway, The Good Dinosaur, Terrible. We said that. Inside Out, good. Monsters University was really good. I remember watching Monsters University at the drive-in theater.
I went and saw it at the drive-in theater.
Maybe not on the same day.
Did
but
we go together?
Maybe.
I don't think we did.
It must have been a double feature. It's like, oh, it's the nice kids movie at the beginning. It's like, I don't know what it would be.
Yeah,
some like kind of really edgy movie at the end or something.
Spring Breakers or something back then.
Spring Break. Brave. I also want to say we watched the drive-in. I believe Carter was pretty scared of the bear.
Yeah,
it was all right. I forget everything that happened.
It was
Cars 2. I will go to great lengths to defend Cars 2 is awesome.
What?
I think Cars 2 is
actually
incredible.
Not what I expected you to say. Wow, yeah, you
like
Cars 2?
Cars 2 is super underrated, but I like it a lot.
I mean, it was cool, but I only saw it one time, and it wasn't related to anything else in the car.
Remember the part where Mater is like, do not eat the pistachio ice cream.
Yeah.
It has turn, and it just echoes. That kills me every single time.
Wow. Yeah, I need to rewatch Cars 2. Wow.
Yeah, so that's good. And then what's kind of annoying is that the, like, spy cars never return.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, so Owen has this thing, I think he copied it from YouTube, but it's a fair point, which is that basically what made Cars unspecial is that it could just be racers. It doesn't have to be cars. It could just be a small town, or like a big city racer goes to a small town and falls in love and helps them people and whatever. Versus Toy Story, it has to be toys or the plot doesn't work.
Mm.
But Cars is like, these could be people, whatever. So, and same for A Bug's Life, it has to be bugs or it won't work. Same for Emotion, is it has to be emotion. Same for it has to be robots. Cars is like, it could be spy people going on adventures. It doesn't have to be spy cars. Like, that's for everything fair. They're able to do, like they eat, they talk, they sleep, they might
there's
as well
not
be cars.
Humans in the picture, so they are the humans.
They overthrew the humans based on the Pixar theory or something. Toy Story 3 is obviously awesome.
Yes, that was a great one.
Also saw at the drive.
Really? I saw that in theaters with my grandparents. They took us.
Up, I believe, was in theaters.
Oh, yeah.
Golly. Up, awesome. Wall-E, awesome. Ratatouille, awesome. Cars, awesome. The Incredibles, awesome.
Oh, my
Finding
gosh.
Nemo's, awesome. Monsters, Inc., awesome. Toy Story 2, decent. Pretty good to decent. Wow. A Bug's Life, awesome. Toy Story, awesome. They actually haven't made as much as I thought that.
Dude, wait. So go from the beginning. Toy Story, Bug's Life.
Wikipedia says, Toy Story, A Bug's Life, Toy Story 2, Monsters, Inc., Finding Nemo, The Incredibles, Cars, Ratatouille, Wall-E, Up, Toy Story 2, Cars 2, Brave, Monsters University, Inside Out, The Good Dinosaur, Finding Dory, Cars 3, Coco, Incredibles 2, Toy Story 4, Onward, Soul, Luca, Turning Red, Lightyear, Elemental, Inside Out 2.
From Monsters, Inc. to Up.
It was perfect. It's like perfect. Insane streak.
Like, that's just incredible to me.
At the risk of repeating myself too much, Monsters, Inc., Finding Nemo, The Incredible, Cars, Ratatouille, Wall-E, Up,
that's
Toy Story
like,
3. You just like hit nine home runs in a row.
Dude, you absolutely did.
You win. Wow. Take it home. Take your bat and go home. You win. The sequels are fine. I guess Incredibles 2 is the most disappointing to me. Because it's like you're expecting, 14 years too late. It's going to be great. And it's like, it's garbage. Again with the twist villains, and I also sometimes get Disney Animation, Disney Animation and Pixar is confusing because some of them seem like they're Pixar.
They look so
not.
Similar now.
And nowadays they've been merged pretty much. Yeah. So like I'm trying to go
like
to Wikipedia
Moana,
and
that's
get
a Disney, that's not Pixar.
Yeah. So that's they've got a bunch of stuff. This is very enlightening. I'm not gonna lie, very enlightening. Oh, interesting. Meet the Robinsons. Okay, so it's like more whimsical. I'm trying to figure out how to tell in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say. Anyway, let's see if we can figure this out. Meet the Robinsons, Bolt, The Princess and the Frog, Tangled, Winnie the Pooh, Wreck-It Ralph. Okay, fair enough. Oh, Wreck-It Ralph isn't Pixar. Okay,
Wreck-It Ralph.
Frozen, Big Hero 6, Zootopia, Moana, Ralph Breaks the Internet, Frozen 2, Raya and the Last Dragon. Boo.
That was a rough one.
Encanto was excellent. A Strange World. I have not seen this. Wish. I have not seen. So they're. I don't know what differentiates, but who knows? Because Wreck-It Ralph could be Pixar. But...
Yeah, I thought it was, honestly.
Yep, so that's good. Yep, Drive-In was a lot of fun. I don't know if I'd like it as much now because I feel like their screen quality is kind of garbage, but it might be all right.
It's fun if you go with fun people and have something to do beforehand and you're you're eating food, you're throwing the Frisbee, you're trying to forget the smell of cigarette smoke from the guy next to you.
More than cigarettes.
And then the movie start. It's just a nice, I don't know, I always love that experience.
I remember you can either tune the radio station or put the Germy car speaker that's been touched by thousands of human hands.
They don't even have those anymore.
Oh, they took it away.
Yeah, they took those away.
Is there an app now instead of a radio station?
No, it's still a radio station, but
okay.
Yeah.
The app's a 1 second off or something.
Yeah. Have you been in a while?
No, it's been years. Dude. Again, the last time, I think, was literally Brave.
Wow. You should go.
No. The last time, I'm pretty sure Monsters University was there. So 2013, been a little while since I've been there.
Wow.
Good little bit. 2013 was
Monsters
11
University
years ago.
Came out in 2013.
You better believe it, yeah. It feels like it just came out, but nope, it came out in 2013.
That's crazy. I remember that. That's crazy.
I wish there was a real sequel to Monsters Incorporated. I see why they didn't, but I wish there was a real sequel. Other than the goofy TV show.
Yeah.
That was fine, but not amazing.
Yeah.
Anyway, you just can't, you know, you can't mess with perfection. Like,
anyway,
The Incredibles doesn't need a sequel. It's no, just it like, doesn't. You got it perfect, and yep. It was awesome, and yep. We're done. We told the story, yep. And we're done.
Now, I could have done with a prequel, kind of like Monsters University style. Like, show us, like...
Yeah, maybe.
Show us Mr. Incredible and, like, Frozone and, like...
How they got started.
Well, all the other dead guys who were dead by the first
Terminated.
Movie. Yeah. That soundtrack is phenomenal. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, crazy.
Location known. Frozone location known. Or was it?
I don't remember.
Location unknown. Oh, it's so funny. Long. And people do the memes with that.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Canceled.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah,
like all the YouTubers those. And people that get canceled.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's shot. There's like these insane camera angles that cut so fast you can't even tell what's going on when he gets like shot with the black balls.
Oh, my gosh. That always freaked me out as a kid. That totally freaked me out.
I may have told the story. Did I ever tell a story about the Caillou episode that freaked me out? It's where...
No.
I may have said this. It scared the heck out of me. Yeah, they're all scary. It's like, I'm not going to do it.
You were geared up. I could feel it.
I was about to do some stuff I would later regret and maybe do an impression of Caillou that would haunt me to my grave and make me unemployable. But anyway, just needless to say, yeah, it's a weird show. It's a Canadian show. Caillou is bald. Why? Does he have cancer? I don't
Canadian?
Know.
Canadian?
I thought it was Canadian. Now you're going to make me use my fact-checking skills here. Is Caillou Canadian? I thought it was. Produced in Canada. And then what else? So, yeah, there was this creepy episode where they have a power outage. So Caillou, like, goes... I want to say he, like, goes in the basement to get something. And then, like, the power goes out and he's just, like, alone in the dark. And then he's, like, crying for his daddy and mommy and stuff. And then and you can just see like his eyes blinking, like deek, 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 that are like white. And that scared the heck out of me. It's like the fact that you could just be in the basement and the power could go off. And then like the fact that those two creepy eyes were just like staring me down as a 2-year-old kid or whatever. And so then I went to nap time and then spent the whole nap time like in the corner of my bed, like with my face against the wall. Cause I was like, the monsters, like the Caillou's eye monsters are gonna come get me. So I was pretty traumatized by watching the kids show Caillou.
That's crazy. You remember stuff from when you were 2 years old?
I'm sure I wasn't too. I'm just telling a funny story. Okay. Maybe I was 5 or something. Okay. I don't know. I want to say my earliest memory was like playing toys in the basement with my grandpa. I feel like that's my earliest memory. And I'm sure you remember your earliest memory as well.
Well, that's the thing. But I don't, like, I have one that probably goes back to like 2000, like when I was like probably like 2 or 3. But that's it. And then, like, I feel like there's nothing.
What is it?
It was me. I remember my mom. We used to have a Toyota Previa. Do you know what those are?
I think I've maybe like seen some of them in museums.
I think it was like 94 or something, 93.
Oh, yeah. I think I've seen this before.
And it was like Toyota's first attempt at the minivan. It preceded the Sienna.
Before the ultimate superior Sienna came out.
It only had a sliding door on one side.
So all the kids had to, like, come to one side?
Yep. And like
that kind of makes sense.
The engine was like below.
Wait, so there was just a window, but no way to get in on?
Yeah,
that's so weird. Why did they do that?
But it was because traffic. It was on the opening door was on the right, and so
to force you to not go in the street.
Not go on the street, essentially.
Let the kids go on the street if they want.
Yeah. No.
Anyway, so
God given American right to go into the street if they want to.
Caca.
Anyway, but I remember being in that van, and we dropped my brothers off for school because they went to Edgewood when they were young. And then I remember we went to my grandparents' house but that's like, I remember them like getting out of the car and I remember like I moved up to the front. My mom denies that because I would have been like 3. Maybe I just imagined
for legal
it.
Reason.
I don't know. But anyway, yeah, that's my earliest memory. But then like I don't really have a lot of memories as a kid up to like 10 or 11 or maybe like 12-ish. And I don't really know why. Like, I'm like, am I like blocking things out? I don't know.
Uh-oh.
You know?
that's a traumatic childhood.
Well, like, me and my mom were in a car accident like 5 years ago.
You told me about it.
And like, I don't know, that I wasn't able to remember it for a while because I still don't remember parts of it.
Wasn't it just you were like, some of the other driver in the stop sign, you blanked out or whatever? Yeah.
Well, like, it's one of those like, you know, Northern Indiana, everything's super flat. So they're like, it's like these like, in the middle of nowhere intersections and they have the like flashing red lights.
Oh, yeah.
But it's like hung lights. We came up to one of those where everybody's supposed to stop. And we stopped completely. And then we like started to lurch through. And the guy thought that it was like a yellow light. And so he
needs to go back to kindergarten.
He was speeding up to get through the yellow light. And so he hit us at like probably 45, 50 miles an hour, 55 miles an hour. And we were like,
RIP Toyota Prima.
Yeah. We were in a Sienna.
RIP, Superior Sienna, even worse.
It was really scary, actually. But my head hurt a lot, and I realized I hit my, like, my head, like, came down and hit the middle console. Anyway, I couldn't remember it. I couldn't, like, all I remembered was, like, we were driving in Marion because we were visiting Iwu. Tough look for Iwu. I did not go there because I got in a car accident 15 minutes after leaving campus.
we call that an omen in the
Yes. But I remember being there, and, like, I remember passing one thing, and Mom made a comment, and then that's it. And then the next thing I remember, like I was, well, yeah.
In the ER saying, cursing, getting in trouble with your mom.
Yeah. Do you remember this? I did tell you,
you
this.
You tell me this, sorry.
Well, it was, I remember the next
which
thing
which is 100% justified in car accidents. We all know
I was in the car.
You're allowed to say actually whatever you want.
And she was in the car.
No problem.
And, like, we were on the side of the road, and I think we were stopped, and I just started, like, I started cursing because I didn't know what else to do. But anyway, so yeah, memory stuff. It's weird.
Well, do you remember more now that you've had time to, like, ruminate or whatever, or it's just a blank? Whatever,
not really. Well, and it's kind of muddy too, because, like, we had dash cam footage, and so, like,
oh, then it isn't muddy because you know it really happened.
Right when it happened, all I remembered was there was like a truck that passed us on the way out of town, like right as we were leaving Marion, and my mom made some comment about the truck, and I remember that. But then, I mean, from that to the time I, like, was, like, saying things I would later regret, I just nothing. But then, as we were looking, but now since I've seen the dash cam footage, I mean, that's like a solid 6 to 8 minutes that I don't remember just being in the car. But now that I have the dash cam footage, I kind of, like, fake memory it, you know. So then,
you edit your memories, yeah.
But I remember not being able to remember. So I think I still don't remember. It's just like I've
you
seen,
just take that as gospel because there's a video of it.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. So
isn't it weird how, like, because people will, like, say, it was this way, and then but there's no dash cam for it, and then someone else will say, no, we didn't have that. That wasn't with that car. That wasn't with that person. It's like, it was. I saw it. I was there. And they're like, nope, you're wrong. I saw it. I was there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're wrong.
Memory
and they're
fallible.
Like, you're wrong.
And now video is fallible because of AI.
Oh, not that. The AI dash cam footage to prove that the other person hit you when they didn't, when you hit them.
Dude.
It's like, well, I guess you're going to be held liable for this.
Yeah. Anyway.
You really do need to get dash cams, people. They're like $100.
I need to get another dash cam. I used to have one, and then it kept falling off, and I just never put it back on.
Well.
But I need to do that.
The second best time to buy life insurance is... No. The first best time to buy life insurance is the day before you die. The second best time is right now.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's all I have to say about that.
Yep. That's all I have to say about that.
No, that's good. It's like, well, if you put up the dash cam, you won't need it. If you put up life insurance, you won't die. If you bring an umbrella, it's fine. You're invincible. Do whatever you want. But it's like, just get the invincibility and call it a day. Pay for the invincibility.
Get the star, the Mario star.
Man. I'm trying to think of what other early, because I know I have another, not traumatic, but like just another memory of running, because I remember it was where we just got into my grandparents' house on my mom's side, ran up to see them because I feel like they're having a garage sale or something, or just maybe cleaning out the garage. But then I ran up to them and then, like, just tripped and kind of busted my chin on the driveway, and then had to go to the ER. Later learned that we should go to prompt care, and that's better, but at the time with the ER. And then I remember that pretty well. And then Mom was like, we're going on an adventure. And then little Zachary was like, this is not an adventure. I doubt he said that, but that was, I think it was the general vibe for little Zachary.
Aww.
Remember that pretty well. Remember staying over at their houses for just different things. I do have vague-ish memories of, like, when me and Carter were at, we called Peepaw and Meemaw, so Peepaw and Meemaw's house for, because Owen was being born, so we met Owen. I sort of remember going to see him and meeting him. Sort of. It's pretty hazy. So 2007, so I would have been 5. Yeah, I do have some memories from when I was 5. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the playing with toys was like 4 or 3 at least. But so I do have some memories. I haven't repressed my childhood. Unlike Joe. But
what can I say?
Except you're welcome.
Well, that's... Okay, not to be Enneagrammy, because, you know...
The 9 forgets. And the 1 wants it to be precise and wants to remember exactly what happened.
When I learned that about the 9, I was like, yeah.
Oh, we haven't been Enneagrammy in a while, but hey, we could do it right now.
We could.
We could.
What do you want to talk about?
Well, so the Enneagram system, and then for the listeners that don't know, which probably all of you do, the personality system, all the Christians like it, and then the... 9 is, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 are the types. I'm doing a bad job explaining this. And the 9, one of the characteristics that's kind of known is that they tend to forget or run away or suppress, to not feel things. They're afraid of their own emotions and what they're capable of. And so they're like, Memories. What are those? What are those?
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, that makes sense. And the one is the precise one that wants it to be like, the memory has to be perfect. Not what happened doesn't have to be perfect, but it has to be just accurate and like complete. And which would explain my love of dash cams.
That's such a wholesome thing to say. Would explain my love of dash cams. Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
Yep, it's good. Get a dash cam.
Yeah.
Kurt Durnell said you had to. That's just
that. He did. He got me mine.
And he didn't use it. Dad. You brought shame to your family.
Yeah.
Dropping your dash
shame
cam.
Shame on my family, my cows.
Anyway. That's funny.
Remember when you thought you were a five and then a six? Oh,
that's stupid. We don't talk about that, Jeff. Yeah. There's some things we don't talk about.
I remember
about.
When I thought I was a four, so I'm with you.
I still have characteristics of a five for sure, like
yeah,
wanting to be left alone. But, I mean, it's definitely not the primary motivation. But, yeah, I don't have... I'm more social than a lot of fives. Not to say that they're, you know, super unsocial, because they can be a little social sometimes, but mm-hmm. I'm more social than fives, and I'm not... as eccentric as some of them. They can be pretty, fives and fours, pretty eccentric people, but
that's true.
A little more of a straight shooter. But I do have my eccentric moments.
You have your moments, totally.
Like, you know, like approximately 30 minutes ago.
Yeah.
With Anna Kendrick. But I'm still hurting.
Cue Zachary losing it.
It's just something about the melodramatic. Like, okay, every now and then things hit me.
Yeah.
They seem very funny. And then I laugh and then I go back to being serious. What's so wrong with that?
No, that's fair. If you can't laugh about something.
It's the, because we know that the Enneagram 1 turns into a 7.
Yep.
And that's
absolutely
what happens to me. And then I am able to laugh. And we know this. We know a 7 that, I think a 7, that got married pretty recently named Malia. And
yes,
and there's a 7 that I know at Thrusey Acep. It's like, I'm able to like keep up with her and joke at her same speed because like being with her activates my 7. But then it's like, right back to one where she
I don't know
if that happens, but
where she continues on
in the seven. I'm like, okay, that was fun. Good night.
Yep.
And then I make my exit.
Yep.
So it can be activated, but not always.
Yeah. It's all about finding that balance, you know?
Yeah, it's just that healthy balance.
Can I just take a second actually here?
Yes.
So I don't know, like, I think it was Jake actually, Jake Hooten, I saw him and he said that. He was like, it's all just about finding that balance. And he said it like that.
Oh, he said it like he was hot.
You know how
just
when
like
hear,
finding that balance.
Like, yeah. But you know when you hear that, like when you hear the iPhone alarm sound that you wake up to, like, but in everyday life, and someone plays it and you're like it was like that, because I hear that from people all
just finding the
time.
The balance.
Yeah. And I think it's just a human thing. Like, we've stumbled upon like this like general law of the universe, which is that too much of anything is a bad thing, and like we have to find something in the middle, and that's usually what's good.
Often.
Yeah, often. And so, which is fine, but it's just, I talk with people, I mean, I'm not trying to call anybody out, but I do meet with a lot of college students.
It's almost like it's your job.
It's like, yeah, like, taking this class and this work and these people, and it's like, you just gotta find the balance. It's just got all about finding
well,
that
Joe,
balance.
Sometimes you have to, you know, there are times when more balance. No, JoJo.
Don't do this.
There are times when more balance is appropriate, and then times when you have to be a little unbalanced. It's all about Joe. It's all about finding that balance.
My gosh.
And then you're here like,
oh, gross! Oh my gosh! Just a visceral reaction. Anyway,
that's not the one. I had a different one for a while. Did I have like? Imagine waking up to like barking dogs.
Thinking you're being chased by the mob again.
No, I can't go back to prison.
By the seaside?
By the seaside. What's like? That one's pretty good.
Constellation, I think, is what I've used.
Nope, that's wrong.
That's
terrible.
That I've used. Yes.
Is it illuminate? No, what's. Gosh darn it. Oh, radiate, not illuminate. Nope.
Oh my gosh. Disgusting.
Anyway, enough with the goofiness, but I can't remember what do 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 do.
Sounds like the dun 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 from the first Star Wars movie. Dun 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 dun.
Oh yeah. It does kind of. But they say Owl City might have made those, not the Star Wars.
Honestly, I could see it. It kind of sounds like them.
Yep, he does a good job.
Yeah.
We're even Joe. So, like, when it comes to choosing your alarm sound, Joe, like, It's all about that balance, right?
Freaking, oh my God.
So what's the exact quote? It's all about that balance.
It's all about finding that balance. It's all about finding that balance. You just gotta find that balance.
You just gotta find that balance.
I think
you
found the episode title right there.
I'm writing it down. You just gotta, is it like G-O-T-T-A, gotta find that
balance? Yeah.
Is it you just gotta find that balance, or you've just got to find that
balance? I mean, you could also just say, just gotta find that balance, you know? You just gotta find that, YA, you just gotta find that balance, you know? It's all about finding that balance. Anyway, I hate it.
So they're saying like, oh, I need to balance school.
Yeah, he was
and
making,
work
yeah.
and
yes. And it's just like,
it's just something we automatically say without even thinking about
it. It's you know how politicians can say words without actually saying anything?
Oh, like ChatGPT
it's like that. It's like
can
it's
we talk
like,
about the state of the current economy?
Yeah.
And just nothing gets
it's
in.
Like useless words because useless. I mean okay and to
words
be fair,
they are useless. Gobble gobble gobble.
If any of my if any of my students are listening to this and you've at some point said that to me, I'm not holding it against you. I'm just saying
he's holding a grudge.
No. I'm just saying I feel like there are more interesting things to say. There are more accurate things to say. You know? It just feels like a cop out, is what I'm saying, which I'm not a fan of.
Would you want people to say instead?
Like, okay, yeah. Let me give an example. So, like,
look at the
I'm in this class, and like, it's really difficult, and like, I'm finding it really hard to like find the time to do that. But then also, like, I don't know, my family is wanting me to be home all the time, and like, they I don't know how to do both of those things.
So what you're saying, Joe, it sounds like that person just needs to find that balance.
See, and it kind of is inevitable talking about it.
So are they allowed to say the word balance as long as they don't say, yeah, just gotta find that? Like, what's the rules to make Joe happy?
What would I want someone to say? I mean, I think maybe like I'm learning how to budget my time in such a way that I can do things I enjoy well. I feel like that's way less. See,
I'm learning how to budget my time in such a way that I can do things I enjoy well.
See, this is, yeah.
That's going to be the subtitle.
We're just going to, it just has to be find that balance.
You just got to
find that balance, that middle ground, you know?
If I got a dollar for every time, it's like, you know, whether that's like with relationship advice or spirituality, it's like, you know, it shows up all the time. I'm trying to think of like an example. It's not like horribly incriminating, but
no,
like,
I know.
Let me try to think. It's like, oh man, you just gotta like, sometimes you gotta, I can't do it straight. No. It's like, sometimes, man, you just gotta like call out Christians in love. Now, I'm not saying be a jerk or anything, but you just gotta call out Christians in love. It's like, gosh,
exactly. It's like, we can't say anything, you know? It's like, we're constantly self-defending.
Now, I'm not saying you like berate them, but you just call them out in love, you know? I'm not saying you let everything go either. You just gotta find that.
Exactly. It's everywhere. Which is why I think it's just the same as the sun rises every morning. It's a foundational principle of the universe. Which, honestly, I would say maybe biblical, probably biblical, but like it's the simple fact that too much of anything is a bad thing. You know what I mean? So yes, rebuking other Christians.
What's the one where, isn't there a proverb where there's literally the opposite right next to it? I'm trying to find it. I was literally reading Proverbs and found that one. There's a proverb where it's the piece of advice, then there's the opposite piece right next to it.
Oh, really?
Is it Fool and His Folly, I think? Opposite advice. Do you know what I'm talking about? Yelling it right now.
Type it in the comments below. What you think this proverb is?
Oh, here it is. Wait. No?
I'm just kidding. We don't have comments. That's...
Is this it? We'll just edit this out, but I swear it's right there. Aha. Proverbs 26, 4 to 5. So, verse 4. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you yourself will be just like him. Verse 5. Answer a fool according to his folly, or he will be wise in his own eyes. So, let's think about this. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you will be just like him. So don't like engage stupid people with arguments or anything. You know, someone says something dumb, don't engage. Let them go and be a bigger person. Answer a fool according to his folly, or he'll be wise in his own eyes. So you better correct the fool. Otherwise, they're just going to go around believing things they shouldn't believe. And you should probably tell them. I've heard this verse talked about, like, or this section talked about. It's like, why is he giving the opposite advice? Literally right in a row, Proverbs 26, verses 4, gives opposite advice. Is Proverbs 26, verse 5, and reasoning on both seems solid. It's like, what do we do? And there's other examples where there's opposite power just separated, not right next to each other. Mm-hmm. But it's like, what's it wanting us to do? Which one? Like, pick one. Which one is it? Hmm. The answer is, it depends. Mm. Like, sometimes, and you've got to ask God for guidance. You've got to think about it. You've got to figure it out. It's like nothing, Joe, if there's one thing I've learned in life in recent times, it's that nothing.
About...
No. Just shut your mouth. It's that there's something, it's nothing is black and white. It's like we can all try to be wise in our own eyes and say, like, oh, yeah, it's just, you know, it's so obvious what you should have done in that situation. It's like, in hindsight, absolutely, it's so obvious what you should have done in that situation. No question. But if you want to, like, be in the moment where you can't, the fog of the future, as CGP Grey Bingo often says, it's like, we had no idea what to do. And that's why you have to go ask for discernment. It's like, well, we can't be 20 years in the future, so what do we do? A wise person that we trust. And so sometimes, yes, there will be a time when it's, you need to answer a fool according to his folly and correct them. And sometimes you need to just be a big person, let it go.
And so it's all about finding that balance.
But that's the problem, is that you'll need, if you can't give the advice, never answer a fool according to his folly, or always, because then there will be situations where you're going to get missed. It's like,
yeah,
nothing is so easy. It's like, people can give you advice. It can sound great. It's like, that's absolutely what I should do. And then someone else gives you that. It's like Enneagram 9s and Enneagram Wing 9s, people will notice. It's like, oh, that's absolutely what I should do. Good point. And then someone else tells you the exact opposite advice and has good reasoning.
Yep.
It's like, oh, no, nah. And then you're like,
Totally.
I guess I'll just give up. So truthfully, it's all about finding that. But it's like, I don't think the answer is ever all the way to the left or all the way to the right. And that's not a political, like, you know, crazy far left, crazy right.
See, it's just you're like, doing it right now. You're like explaining it as you're going. You're like, I don't mean it like this.
You know, I'm not saying it's never okay to be political, but I'm also not saying you should disengage. No. I'm not saying it's never okay. You get it. The joke, right? Themselves.
Is there really?
You know, I'm not saying it's okay to be like passive, but you also don't have to be like a political activist all the time. You know, it's all about finding that balance. So
it's all about finding that. It's inevitable.
I am inevitable. I think it's about the fact, I think it's just that we don't want people to take what we said and then get a little too excited with it.
Yep.
It's like, I'm giving you permission to do this thing, but not like that.
yeah, exactly.
I'm giving you permission to answer the fool according to his folly, but know when to shut your mouth and be the bigger person.
Yeah.
But yeah, I swear, like every fiction, even like ChatGPT does it sometimes, like you'll ask it for advice and it'll be like, give you the advice. It's like, of course, it's also important to be careful when doing this and make sure to speak to a medical professional at all times and not use ChatGPT to, you know, give serious medical advice. It's like, okay, we've got to put that qualifier on there so that OpenAI doesn't get sued by someone using ChatGPT to perform surgery and like explain where to do the incision and everything,
my gosh.
Which I'm sure people have done.
I'm sure that's,
Internet's a big place.
Yeah, it is.
That's really, that's something I've thought a lot about, Joe. Like, you'll see, now once you see it, you're going to, it's like everywhere.
It's like telling somebody.
Because people are trying to balance their... Sorry, go ahead.
No, you're fine. I was just saying, it's like telling somebody that you can always see your nose or that your tongue is in your mouth.
So like with this podcast, like the correct answer is... So used to, I did a ton of editing, which took too long. And now, then I started doing less. But it's like, you know what I'm saying? You always got to find...
I think that's a perfect way to end tonight. It's all about finding that balance.